And we're back here. It's another week. This is Andrew Wood, your host of this show, Executive Director of Hope Resource Center, and certainly glad to be here. Excuse my voice. I will probably cough a few times tonight. I woke up Saturday. It was completely gone. Sunday, a little bit better. Yesterday, a little bit worse. And then today, it is where it is. So we'll do my best to get through the next 45 minutes or so here with you. As we talk about life and we talk about the issues going around, not just here in the state, not just here in Knoxville, but around the country. And so where I want to start today is I want us to start with a law that was recently passed in California. And you may be listening and saying, oh, no, he's going to get political, he's going to talk about laws. Well, I'm not necessarily going to get political, but what I am going to do is it's important as pro-lifers that we understand what pieces of legislation are being passed around the country. We have been blessed in this state of Tennessee that that a lot of the laws kind of walk in line with our view of life. But what we know is there's other states across this country where laws are not walking in line with life. And one of those states is California. And so they recently passed a law that really goes against the life narrative. It goes against pregnancy centers like Hope Resource Center. And so what I did today is I put some thoughts down on paper. I do that from time to time. And I just want to read that to you and kind of get you caught up to where we are with that law in California and what that may mean for the rest of the country. How some of us on the pro-life side are reacting to it, how we should react to it, how the pro-choice folks, the abortion lobby, are reacting to it, and so let's walk through that together. So I truly feel like I'm living in an alternate universe. This past Sunday, the largest abortion provider in this country was celebrated for reaching the 100-year milestone. While pro-life clinics in California were demonized and forced by the government to hold hands with organizations that stand in direct opposition to a pro-life ethic and a religious belief that life is sacred. The Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals ruled on October 14th that pro-life clinics do indeed have to refer patients to publicly funded abortion providers in their communities. This ruling, although not final, could be very damaging to the work of pregnancy centers in California and possibly around the country. So to give you a little bit of backdrop to what that means, this particular legislation means that pro-life clinics like Hope, if we were in California, we would have to post signs of abortion clinics in our community. We would have to tell our patients how to get to an abortion clinic. Excuse me. We would have to tell our patients what that abortion clinic provides, and that the government may even subsidize some of that work. So that's what the law was designed to do. So this is government intrusion at its worst. The California law is a misuse of legislative power. The bill was crafted with the assistance of the abortion lobby and with the goal of closing down pregnancy centers in and around California. Now, I understand political posturing and putting forward legislation that may harm your opposition. My issue is not with passing this legislation. I must be clear here. I disagree absolutely with this law and the desire to force pro-life clinics to somehow point or refer patients to abortion clinics. However, I am not surprised that this law would be passed in a very progressive state of California. I am surprised, however, in the court ruling this legislation acceptable in the eyes of the Constitution. The abortion lobby will take this time to point at the many abortion restriction laws being passed across the country as a similar stunt. I would fully disagree with this. We are not seeing legislation around this country forcing abortion providers to hold hands with and refer patients to pro-life clinics. I would love to see abortion clinics do that, but I would disagree with the use of the law or the courts to mandate that type of statute. The restrictions that have been passed here in my state of Tennessee and other states in the union are designed to assist the patient with the options in front of them. I am not naive, though. I realize that some of the origins of these legislative actions are to hinder or cripple the abortion provider. That may not be a healthy spirit, but it certainly plays a role in the legislative agenda. We are all adults here and should recognize that both sides wish to see the other side close their doors. Anyone denying that would be lying. I, however, am strongly opposed to using the courts and the law to silence those that I may disagree with. We do, after all, have a First Amendment. I can disagree with others, what others may say, but that doesn't change their right to say it. Now hear that again. We can disagree with what others may say, but that doesn't change the right that they are able to say it. Okay? This newly passed law in California is a stunt to silence those of us on the side of life. The abortion lobby continues to make profits off the back of the most vulnerable, while pregnancy centers seek to love, care, and serve the most vulnerable without charging a dime. People on the side of life will fight this ruling to the Supreme Court if that is the route that has to be taken. I have complete confidence in that. However, I have little confidence in the system ruling in our favor. I pray that I am wrong, but history and the current makeup of our presidential election doesn't offer much hope. This is why I am grateful I do not have to place my hope in man, systems, or courts. This ruling is certainly a step in the wrong direction, but it doesn't change the work we are called to do. This ruling doesn't change the love, service, or care that we have to offer. Instead, it presents us with an opportunity to go against the grain and offer support the abortion lobby is incapable of offering. Many folks working in the pro-life world got into this work to see every life celebrated and valued. We knew that it was time for a voice to be given to those that had none. We understood this work was counter to the culture and society we live in and would surely be a very steep uphill battle, a battle that still rages on today. There is no denying that this law is damaging and dangerous to the great pro-life work in California and around this country. We must partner with our prayers, our time, and our wallets to see this ruling overturned. We must also recognize that this is an opportunity to serve a greater purpose. The curtain is being pulled back and more eyes will be on the work we perform and the work being performed at the abortion clinics. This means that our free but expert care will be placed under a microscope and the world can finally see what it is we do and why we do it. This will also clearly show the profit-focused work of the abortion clinic that seeks to pass all of their costs onto the patient, the taxpayer, and or the government. Our mission is not to attack the abortion lobby. No, our mission is to provide for moms, dads, and families in need. It is this work, not our pro-life stance, which attracts our patients to us. Now hear that again. It is this work, not our pro-life stance, which attracts our patients to us. They are in crisis and in desperate need of assistance, assistance that we are able to provide. Please don't take my thoughts today as someone in retreat. That could not be further from the truth. Hope opened its doors in 1997 across from an abortion clinic. We did this with purpose and intent. We did not protest the cost or intervene with the clinic's work. We simply showed up, opened our doors, and served those in need with love and care. We trusted that our work would speak for itself and that the abortion clinic's work would do the same. This is why we were not surprised in 2012 to see that clinic close its doors. Our mentality is not one of retreat or disengage. It is just the opposite. We charge ahead, seeking to engage our culture and society at a very deep level as we provide the care that is needed to those that need it the most. We must pray that laws would go in our favor and vote for those that stand for life, but let us be careful not to shift our hope to laws and elections. Join me in praying for the clinics in California that are fighting in the trenches and the legal organizations that are standing with them. I pray the courts would make this right, but if they don't, we still have much work to do, and we must never allow what some would call a defeat to distract us from that very needed and desperately desired life work we are blessed to do every single day. Excuse me, that is how we are to react. Now some folks are going to hear this and say, Andrew, you're not angry enough. You're not up in arms enough. You don't understand the ramifications. You don't understand what is coming down the pike for us if we don't do something about this. Folks, listen. When we were called to this work, at least if you're at a pregnancy center, we were called to this work not to attack the abortion lobby. We weren't called to this work out of anger. We weren't called to this work out of hate. Or we shouldn't have been. We were called to this work because we looked around and we saw moms and dads in crisis that needed assistance. We saw too many abortions happening. We didn't see enough people stepping in to help. And so that is why we do this work. My mission, my goal, Hope's mission, Hope's goal is not to close down every abortion clinic. But listen to this. But if we do our job with excellence, every abortion clinic will close. And they will because we're doing the work that they can't do. So we must accept that. We must understand that. Again, that doesn't mean we disengage. That doesn't mean we don't try to fight it in the courts. It doesn't mean that we don't try to vote pro-life candidates. Of course we do those things. But we make a major mistake. We make a major mistake as pregnancy centers when we shift our focus from helping and serving those in need to attacking the other side. That is not our identity. That is not who we are. And I promise, if we put our focus where it needs to be, on the men and women that are hurting, then all's going to work out. We'll talk more in a sec. And we're back. This is Andrew. Thanks so much for listening. You may be listening on your drive home. You may be listening online. You can do that now at WRJZ.com. Maybe you can listen to just part of the show and you want to catch all of it. We'll have it up on podcast tomorrow. You can find that at investinghope.com. It's on iTunes as well. And we'll be posting that to our social media and different outlets through that as well. So we do appreciate you listening every week to what we have to say. And what we're focusing on tonight and what we're looking at is at times we as pro-lifers can be a woe is me, the sky is falling type of people. And I'm saying this, understand, from a posture of a person that was that person not too long ago. Okay. So, I was the person that would say everything hinges on this election. Everything hinges on this vote. Everything hinges on this court decision. Everything hinges. And I went on and on and on. And folks, when we do that, especially as believers, it makes it difficult for us to then focus on the sovereignty of the creator of life. Right? So when we say everything hinges on this election, everything hinges on this court decision, are we acting as if God can't overcome that? Or as if he doesn't already know what's going to happen in November? I mean, he is holding every star in the sky. Every breath that I take is a gift from him. He knitted us together in our mother's womb. I mean, these are things that we must be holding on to. And I know that that's hard for some of us to hear. It's hard for me to hear. It's hard for me to tell myself in the mirror when I say, well, what about this or what about that? It's hard for me to then go, well, what about the king that's on his throne that isn't coming off that throne? Because, folks, that is who we are. Now, don't translate that to say don't vote. Don't translate that to say it doesn't matter about who's making court decisions. And I'm telling you, we need to be all in. And the legal organizations that are all in California trying to get this law overturned need to be all in. And we need to support them. And Hope is a member of NIFLA, which is a umbrella organization that is fighting through the courts. Excuse me, that is fighting through the courts to get this decision overturned. And we support them and we stand with them. But this woe is me mentality, this the sky is falling mentality from believers has to stop. Now, should we long for Jesus' return? Absolutely. But folks, I want to put something in perspective for you. The largest abortion provider in this country, Planned Parenthood, and I hesitate to even say their name, they turned 100 years old on Sunday. Okay, they were founded by Margaret Sanger 100 years ago. She opened up a birth control clinic, in New York, and it was closed down. I think she was arrested for what she was doing, and they hold her up as some kind of hero. She's not a hero. She couldn't stand minorities. Her goal was to eradicate the earth of the less desirables, which were minorities and which were the handicapped. She used to say that the biggest thing that families can do for this country and for this earth is to not have kids. that was her mantra, her mission. Okay? So that is who Planned Parenthood is. That down in their core, that is who they are. They still celebrate this woman. And then what we have in 1973, we had Roe v. Wade. We had a court decision that said abortion is a constitutional right. We had courts, we had judges say women now have the constitutional right to choose to terminate their pregnancy. Now for those of you that are like me and that weren't on this earth in 1973, or maybe for those of you that are listening and you remember that like it was yesterday, think about what you felt. And I can imagine that there were believers and Christians saying, the sky is falling. You mean to tell me the courts have just said and just legalized the terminating of babies? That is what they said in 1973. But do you know when that decision was made, first off, the vote was 7-2. 5 of the 7 judges were appointed by Republican presidents. So I want you to keep that in perspective. So all this Supreme Court talk, all this talk that we go into, that was a court that we thought would have went our way, and it didn't. Which is what happens when you put hope in things of this earth and in courts and not in the God of the sovereign, or not in the sovereign God of the universe. But that's a point for another day. What we saw after that decision was made was we saw some believers get together and say, abortions are about to explode here. And there are moms and there are dads that need assistance. What are we going to do? Are we going to sit at home and close our blinds and shut our doors and say, woe is me? How could God allow this to happen? Are we going to sit at home and sit on our hands and sit in our church pews while there's young women outside that are not getting the help that they need, or they're being coerced to have abortions? No, what happened was some believers got together and said, we're going to open up clinics ourselves. And we're going to push a life agenda. And we're going to be there for them. Folks, that is who we are. Their mindset wasn't, how can we attack the other side? Their mindset and their drive and their foundation was one that said, there are people around us in need. And the answer that they are getting right now is one of death, and that is not okay. And then here's what we know. Here's what we know from experience right here in our backyard in Knoxville. Here's what we know. When you open up a pregnancy center and you seek out excellence and you hire the right people and you bring in the right volunteers and you partner with 50 plus churches in the community and you partner with businesses in the community and you partner with influential individuals in the community, that the abortion clinics close their doors. Not because we protested them, not because we intervened, but because we gave something more to the patient. And so we see it every day at Hope. Patients walk out of abortion clinics and come to Hope because of the way they're treated, because of the way they're loved, because of the way their needs are met, and because we don't charge them a flipping dime. Think about that. So when you find yourself in this idea of the sky is falling, woe is me, Christians are getting pounded, Christians are the scum, and the country is just going to point everything to us and they're going to attack us. First off, I would say, we are in the greatest country on earth. And if you think by the handfuls of Christians being drowned alive, of Christians being beheaded, of Christians just the other day being crucified. So yes, this law in California is bad, but let's not get things twisted and think that this is the end of everything, okay? Because there's great work being done, amazing work being done. And I would put our service and our work and our mindset and our foundation and our core values up against any abortion clinic on the face of the planet. And we're going to win that one. So, folks, if you want to counter this, yeah, I told somebody yesterday, they were like, well, what if, you know, as we, if these clinics in California are going to start posting flyers in their pro-life clinics about abortion clinics, the way I would do that is I would post and I would say, yeah, we'll post the abortion clinic and we'll post all their cost and then we'll post all of our cost. And it doesn't cost you anything to come to us. Pregnancy test is free. Ultrasound is free. Parenting classes, it's free. Mentoring, it's free. You know what? We'll throw a baby shower for you. That's free. But those costs add up. And as I said earlier, it's not just the cost of the patient. It's the cost to the taxpayer, and it's the cost to the government. And so as we look at the landscape around us, as we look at what's going on, please, I'm begging you, don't be that woe is me Christian. Because we serve the God of the universe. They can put up anything they want. They can try to put barriers. And folks, they have over time, they have tried to stop the gospel from moving. And guess what? It's penetrated everywhere. Everywhere. Peter was crucified upside down. Paul beheaded. Other disciples were exiled and put away. But guess what? The gospel never stopped moving. That is our motivation. That is our drive. That is who we are. We'll be back.
Your voice, all at once, it's a gentle and thundering noise. Wake up, child. It's your turn to shine. You were born for such a time.
And we're back. It's Andrew Wood, Executive Director of Hope Resource Center. Again, we thank you for listening to the show. And if you can't tell, I'm a little riled up today. And the reason is, as we look at what's going on around the country, as we look at different pieces of legislation that are coming forward and that are really, you know, doing that could do some harm, could do some damage to pro-life clinics. Certainly, I think there's religious liberty issues at play with the piece of legislation passed in California. You know, those type things. I mean, those are things that we need to take seriously. Those are things we need to debate in the courts and we need to get taken care of. But again, if we're placing all our bets and all our hopes in a court made up of fallen men or in laws that are made by fallen men, then don't we need to kind of readjust our focus? Because I'm just going to let you know, we may win some of those, but we're definitely going to lose some of them. So if all your hope is built in that and placed in that, then how are you going to handle when you lose some of them? I mean, that's what we have to grapple with. One of the first campaigns I worked on, I spent so many hours on the campaign trail, and I became really close friends with the candidate that I was working for. An amazing man. Had millions of dollars and gave tons of money to the community. And he did all that in secret. No one knew about it. He wouldn't let us talk about it on the campaign trail. Just a really great dude, really. I mean, just a really good man. And we ended up losing the election to a guy that although was from a different party, was a really good man that I respect and still stay in touch with today. But I came home and my wife was crying. Because we lost. And we put so much effort into that. And we were newlyweds and just, I mean, actually got married during the campaign. Just, we were upset. We were sad. But you know, the sun still rose the next day. I still went to work the next day. The grass still needed to be mowed. You know, stores still opened. All of that was still there. So the reason that I say that is, yes, we wanted to win that, but that wasn't our identity. Our foundation, our life, everything that we knew was not wrapped up in winning that election. And so We need to be engaged, and we need to be involved, and we need to vote, and we need to do all of those things. But understand, we are going to lose at times, and we're going to win at times. How are we going to handle those? And if we create this mindset, and I think social media has helped with this, and you know, constant 24-hour cable news has helped with this, but we created this mindset of win at all costs. And if we don't win, that sun's not going to come up tomorrow. If we don't win, fill in the blank. And when we do that, if we were to act like that this court ruling, as awful as it is in California, that doesn't mean that these pregnancy centers are going to stop operating. That doesn't mean there's going to be less people that need assistance. That doesn't mean that there's still going to be work that needs to be done. All of that is still going to happen. We may have to jump through more hoops. We may have to fill out more paperwork. We may have to do things that we absolutely disagree with. We may have to make decisions where we say, I am not going to comply. Folks, those are tough decisions to make. But we are able to move forward when we have our hope and our gaze fixed on something greater than who we are, greater than a court, greater than a monument, greater than a capital, greater than the Oval Office. And so as we look through all of this, we have to then get back to what is our mission. And so often you have mission creep. And what that is that's where your mission has gone. Your mission has gone off the tracks. And so we our mission in this pregnancy center world is to serve and care for those in need. That's our mission. That's who we are. When we shift that focus to other things, then what happens? The men and women that are in need, the babies that we're fighting for, are then pushed to the side for a second. We still may serve them, but we're putting a little bit more time on this over here because we're upset about this or upset about that. That's why we have different legs of the pro-life movement. That's why we have legal organizations so they can focus their time to fight this legislation. And we can focus our time on serving the men and women of the community. That's why we have Right to Life organizations that are lobbying groups to see how we can work through the legislative process to restrict abortion, to pass laws that will be in favor of life. That's why we have these different legs. The Right to Life groups don't need to start working in the pregnancy center world. We all need to partner with each other. But we all have our giftings. We all have our roles. Let's play those roles. But as we do that, understand that every Christian group in the history of this planet were persecuted, struggled, had days that were really, really difficult. I mean, think back to Stephen. Stephen was transformed, was saved, gave one sermon, and then was stoned to death. That's what he did for the gospel. And who was standing there holding coats while it happened? Paul, then Saul. So just understand that this utopian idea that Christians have, that we think that all's going to be rosy and peachy. And well, if we do this or if we do that, then Christianity and Christians can just flourish and do more. Well, I would argue that in a lot of times, and what we're seeing around the globe is in areas where Christianity is persecuted the most, that's where it's flourishing the most, where they're suffering. Christianity is flourishing in China. Shouldn't be. The government certainly doesn't want it to, but it is. It's flourishing in parts of the world, sometimes in secret, sometimes out in the open. And I know that there's places around the world that are now thinking about sending missionaries to where? To America. Because the gospel's needed. So if you don't take away anything from what we've discussed today, understand that yes, we must engage. Yes, we must never retreat. We don't retreat. We have to get involved. We must vote for pro-life candidates. We must support pro-life legislation. But understand, and certainly in certain parts of this country, there's a lot less of us in certain parts of this country. And so the abortion lobby, they're going to win some. They're going to see legislation go through that we're not going to like. And that may, in fact, hurt pregnancy centers. And if all of our hope and all of our efforts are put in to courts and laws and men, then that's going to be debilitating. That's going to be almost impossible to overcome. But if our hope and our thoughts and our motivation is deeply rooted in the gospel of Jesus Christ, then folks, the sky's the limit. The sky is the limit. I've talked about Paul quite a bit today, but think about Paul. What did Paul do all through Scripture? After Jesus saved him, he went out and he spread the gospel, sharing the gospel with everyone he could. And I've heard a preacher put it this way, that Paul was frustrating because you could throw him in jail, it didn't matter. He was going to convert the people in prison and the people that are supposed to be watching over the prison. He could be shipwrecked and bitten by a snake and all these things. It didn't matter. It wasn't going to prevent him from sharing the gospel. You could threaten to kill him and he would say, well, to live is Christ, but to die is gain. Why? Because he was deeply rooted in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so for him, the sky was the limit. It didn't matter what you did. You want to force me to put a sign up or refer people to abortion clinics? That's not going to stop the work that I'm doing. You want to try to shut my mouth and not talk about pro-life issues? It's not going to stop me. Because we serve something greater. So that's the hope that we have. We can get frustrated and we can get down, and we certainly need to be praying that legislation would go our way. But if that is where you have your hope rooted, then folks, I'm just going to let you know, you're going to be miserable. And you know how I know that? Because that was me. I put all my hopes in that crap. And I was miserable because we lost. But when I started to recognize and understand, and God started to convict me and say, there's something so much greater than a political outlook. And I begin to look at that kingdom and not the kingdom that I can have on this earth. Then I begin to see it doesn't matter what they may say or do. We have a gospel message worth sharing. And the work that we're doing at pregnancy centers is a message and a work that is worth sharing. And it's not going to stop. We'll be back. We're back. It's Andrew Wood, Executive Director of Hope Resource Center. Again, thank you for listening. We got about 4 or 5 more minutes left. Just want to kind of recap everything that we talked about tonight. So again, we put our hope in God, and we understand that we're going to lose some, we're going to win some. There's going to be a number of different issues where we may come out on top, we may not. But we understand that the foundation there, and we're rooted in the gospel. And so if we're rooted in the gospel, then we're going to be able to press forward. And also understanding in the pregnancy center world, the mission of the pregnancy center is to serve and love on those in our community, those that are in crisis, those that are in need. That's what we do at Hope. That's what they're doing all across the country. We have 2,500 plus pro-life clinics doing this work. And so we put our hope in God, not in man, not in courts, not in the White House, not anything like that. So as we're looking through these issues, again, that doesn't mean we retreat. That doesn't mean we disengage. We certainly go forward. We certainly do those things. But again, our hope isn't in those things. And if we lose in some of those endeavors, that doesn't mean that God is distant. It doesn't mean that God has turned his back. It doesn't mean that God is not involved. So we trust in that. And let me just tell you some of the ways that I know that. First off, I know that because of what goes on at Hope every single day. In my interactions with churches, with pastors, with businesses, with everybody that I get to interact with because of my role at Hope Resource Center, I understand and know that God is moving in a mighty way. I understand because we were able to throw 12 baby showers for 13 babies this past Thursday. That means one of our patients is having twins. And seeing the look on their faces as we brought in a car seat and a pack and play and a stroller and a diaper bag and clothes and a bathtub and diapers and wipes. And watching them light up and thinking that many of them, just a few weeks or a few months ago, were thinking about abortion. But because our doors were open for them, God used us to be there for them, and they chose life. So when you look around and you have those woe is me, the sky is falling moments, I just want you to know that even after the election in November, Hope Resource Center is going to open its doors, and we're going to have a young lady come in who's leaning toward abortion, and she's going to choose life, regardless of how that election goes in November, regardless of what courts may say, regardless of what legislation comes out. Hope is going to open its doors, and men and women are going to be served and loved well. And so when you have those moments of defeat, we see victories every single day. Allow yourself to see those victories, because I'm telling you, it changes everything. It absolutely changes everything. And Hope Resource Center, we couldn't do any of that without you. So if you want to partner with us, you can go to investinghope.com. You can email me, andrew@knoxvillehope.com. You can follow us on Facebook at just search Investing Hope. We'd love to partner with you. We'd love to stand with you, lock arms with you as we stand for life. Because folks, regardless of what happens or what decisions are made, there are tons and tons of broken people in this community that are in need of assistance. And we're going to be there for them. And we need you to stand with us as we're there for them. We thank you for listening. We'll be back next week. Talk to you soon. Salvation's waiting.